And listening to Chris and Listen Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favorite podcasts.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Listen Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
It's the X
on the Pitch Show with Chris and Xbox Julian Watts, looking back at the past week at all things Leicester City.
Right, Chris.
All white there, all white the back. How are we doing? How the devil are we all? Yeah, a bit like that. Sat in 12th. 9 places worse off than this time last season. A must-win game on Thursday, otherwise we could be out of it altogether, or we could even be playing in the Conference League. It's all going to look a bit tits up, isn't it? It's Leicester Till I Die TV. This is where you can find us, watch us, and listen to us.
Listen on your favorite podcast platform,
or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
Indeed. I did this as a joke a few weeks ago, just for a bit of a laugh, but I actually think it might be closer to the truth than I
thought. My answer is I don't have the first damn clue.
Does he? I said at the top, do we need to, does Brendan need to change, or do we actually need to change Brendan? Let's face it, 6-7 months ago, we would not even have thought that. It's the X.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event of the evening. 60 minutes of football fun and banter with Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV. Are you ready?
Ready?
Let's get ready to rumble.
I don't know about fun and banter, but on this day in history, yes, we are looking at that again. And do you know what? It's to cheer me up, because I don't know if you've got the Bible, as I like to call it, Leicester City on this day, a miscellany. I haven't got to miscellany yet because it's not the end of the year. But this day on the 23rd of November, 1948. What were you doing? I bet Julian can remember what he was doing. It's probably much the same as he's doing now. He probably was born with a wine bottle in his mouth rather than a milk bottle. But you know what? Frank Worthington, God rest his soul, I hope he rests in peace. He was born today in Halifax. He was on this day in 1948. So RIP Frank, we miss you all. Let's get him in then. He is Leicester's top totty. And this week he is the top totty for the magazine Women's Golf. You know, he couldn't have picked it better himself, could he? He likes to play around of golf, and they have now voted him top totty. Let's bring him in. Julian, you've been sat there waiting patiently. How the devil are you?
I'm really good, Chris, really good.
Did you know there's actually a beer called Top Totty?
I'm sure I must have had a pint somewhere along the way.
Well, yes. Knowing you, you probably did. I've been trying to find it, and whether it's been discontinued or not, but I couldn't find it anywhere. So tonight, we're going to be looking at what has gone wrong with Leicester City and Brendan Rodgers. It's a funny one this season, isn't it? I mean, you know, go back 5-6 months and we wouldn't even thought we'd be having this conversation.
No, we wouldn't. But, you know, in those months ago, we were showing some really good form. The team was looking good. And, you know, we've said before that the formation's chopped and changed, as it did again at the weekend, which really puzzled me. And, you know, is that the reason? Last year we were forced into a formation that we needed to play. It worked. And then since then, we've seemingly done as different players have come back, which have allowed the manager to look at different formations, but they've not really worked out. And it just seems that we've stuttered and faltered right away from the beginning of the season.
Good evening, Scott. Yeah, I mean, if you remember the Great Escape year. Wasn't quite going back to 1948, so it was a bit more recent. But, you know, prior to that, under Nigel Pearson, we'd played the previous season or so, and you could have picked the team sort of 6 games in advance. You could say, oh, yeah, when we play sort of, you know, in 8 weeks' time, this will be how Nigel will set up, this will be his players. And it was, and we stormed the championship. The following season, we struggled, because Nigel was changing it week in, week out. And it wasn't until sort of towards the end, Mark Albrighton came in and he kind of got settled, that it obviously all changed and we did the Great Escape. But to me, that match at the weekend, you got a Chelsea side, you know, and the commentators were saying this, Tuchel picks his formation and he says, that's it. I'm not changing. I'm not deviating. If I bring a player in, he will slot into that position if he needs to. It's still the same formation. And like you said, here we are, we're changing. It was men against boys.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, it was over just before, you know, just as it started or soon after it started. And what puzzled me was that, you know, obviously we went with the back three, which has been working well, but then we go with the top three instead of playing, you know, Maddison in the hole behind two strikers. And, you know, again, what I can see is if we're playing a top three, whether it's a back four or a back three, if we're playing a top three, you know, there's no place for Maddison. So we're accommodating Luckman and Barnes, and they have to perform unbelievably well to make that work. And if they don't perform, then you just kind of look at it and go, why didn't we go with Iheanacho and Vardy with Maddison in behind, which has worked absolutely fantastic for us, especially against Manchester United. Even when we were stuttering early doors and we went and got the win at Millwall in the Cup, you know, that we went back to that shape that we'd used so well last year. And for me, it's just been that tinkering with the shape. So for some reason, we decided that we needed to match Chelsea on the weekend, like for like shape. And it absolutely didn't work. And like you say, they're playing that every week. You know, we're chopping and changing and there doesn't seem to be any settled formation. What a manager has to do is be strong and say, this is the formation. And unfortunately, at this moment in time, you don't fit in it. And as we change things around, you know, maybe make substitutes in games, we might change things around. But this is our formation right now. And we've not done that all season. And I think that's possibly got, you know, at least a little bit to do with where we are now.
But he's got... This is his third season, so he's got time. The players that are there should be the players he wants to fit, like I say, with Chelsea, to fit into that formation. You know, he should be saying, this is my formation, because let's face it, he's had quite a few years at the top. And I know I joke about Scottish football, but he's had, you know, the years in Scotland, the years at Liverpool. So, you know, he's had those years when surely he knows by now what formation he prefers. And those players that are there should be his players now.
They shouldn't, you know, and I think a good manager might go to a club to start with and pick the formation that suits the, you know, what he inherits. But I think the problem he has got now is the emergence in the last few years of Barnes. The fact that we've all said that he spent a lot of money, his own money, or not his own money, but he was the director of spending the money, you know, on Perez, and, you know, probably feels that he needs to play him because he's, you know, he spent an awful lot of money on him. So when they become back available, or, you know, Barnes suddenly after an injury becomes available, is he then feeling that, you know, this is going to work if I play this way, but I'm going to have to change it because these players don't really fit into the, you know, into the 3-4-1-2. And again, that's where I think whether he feels pressure to change. You know, he obviously feels it's the right thing to do with the quality of players that he's got. But when you do that and it doesn't work, you know, the finger is straightly pointed right back at you, because we've had a formation that's worked. And in the few times we've played it this year, it's worked. And we keep veering away from it and it's not coming off.
I mean, you can't say, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, look at the injuries we've got to the back four and all this. But last season, we had worse injuries. I mean, we had, you know, bless him, Christian Fuchs was being wheeled on in his bath chair. We played more games than he had in the previous three seasons put together. So last season, so I don't get this injury thing at all. And I won't use that as an excuse because, you know, last season we had worse injuries and we were third. This season, and we've got better players. Now, is it, I hate to say it, but is Brendan suffering from the same problem as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester, where he'd got the crown jewels, but he just couldn't put it into a crown? And, you know, sometimes, you know, he's gone out and bought better players. We've said what a great squad we've got. We look at our substitutes bench, thinking, wow, what a, you know, best we've had for years. Has he got too much choice, literally?
I think, like, the early part of the season, you know, there's like the injury to Evans, which I thought unsettled them slightly. But that is, you know, at the time, I think, is that why he's tinkering with formations? Because he's worried about which central defenders will fit in where. And, you know, some of the signings haven't worked out. I think that was unsettling at the start. But again, for me, you know, go back to what works. And you're right, you know, we have got good centre-backs. And when we talk about defending, it's not just, you know, about the centre-backs. It's about all over the pitch. But, you know, I think we've got, you know, one of the best strikers in the league. We've got, you know, the best, for me, box-to-box midfielder in the league. You know, we've got Maddison, who's an England player. You know, you look around and there's quality everywhere. And it is difficult, you know, to put your finger on it. And that's where you would have hoped that, you know, Brendan would have fixed it right now if he's the top manager, you know, that we think that he is. But you could turn that on its head if I was going to be really harsh, even though I've talked ever so well about him, and he's obviously a very good coach. But, you know, at Liverpool, he probably punched a bit above his weight, having Suarez in the squad, who was worth probably 15 points more that season than, it, you know, they would have achieved without him. He goes to Celtic. Yeah. Let's be honest, there wasn't a Rangers at the time. You know, it wasn't, you know, the tough task that he faces every week in the Premier League, which is why he came down here and why, you know, Chris Sutton talks such a tosh at times, thinking that Celtic are a bigger club than Leicester. That's why Brendan came down here. And that, for me, there is, you know, is there this final bit to them that's not quite there as a manager, where, you know, he can't fathom these problems out when it seems that he's got the right tools at his disposal?
I know. I mean, the purchase he had made, you can't plan for injuries, but, you know, an injury or a suspension, it can come along and get you at any time. Unfortunately, with Fofana, it was probably to one of our best players just before the start of the season. Do you think we were rushed into, because I don't think we'd planned to buy another central defender, but we went and got Vestergaard, and you could argue whether he is good or bad, etc. But do you think we rushed into that? And it was a quick decision, which is good to see, because we'd got him in place. But had you had a bit longer, do you think they probably may not have bought him and bought somebody else in?
I think firstly, you know, Vestergaard's a good centre back. He's shown that, you know, in a previous club that maybe played a different way. And I think he's coming to a team that, you know, we have had this shaky start and it's not all down to him. And as a new player coming into that, I think that would be very difficult for him, you know, mentally. And I think, but to answer that question, Chris, I think it was, you know, if Brendan says to his scouts, in 3 months' time, I'm looking at bringing a centre back in, you know, get yourselves out there, do your homework, give me some names. You know, I think the question you're asking is, would Vestergaard be one of those names? And possibly not, if they'd got the time to go out and do it. But like you say, there was a time constraint. They wanted somebody in quickly. They've obviously had a look at him, but whether it was 100% of a decision or whether it was, you know, we need somebody, only they will know. But it's not worked out, you know, happily for either party at the moment.
I mean, you know... We joke, and I was actually quite impressed with the Ryan Bertrand signing, because I thought, yeah, he's got the experience that we've lost with Christian and Wes, you know, leaving, you know, he's been around the block, as they say. But we've got two players in a team that, not just us, but Man United, put nine past, and we've got half of their defence playing for us now.
Yeah,
am I being unfair? Like
No, I mean, you know, like I say, Vestergaard, he's not bad. He's having a tough time. And again, with Bertrand, I've always been, you know, quite a fan of his despite those results. But no, I thought he would and could, you know, still be a welcome addition. And, you know, there's other ways of looking at it. I know Southgate's touched on it with the England team. You know, he's had Kyle Walker as a right centre-back. And to be fair to me, I don't think Kyle Walker's that defender that you want there. But is Bertrand the one who could slot in on the left of a back three, you know, with Luke Thomas outside him? And I'd possibly like to think that with his experience that he could do. And it's something that, you know, we've not explored well. We've had shortages there and probably, you know, selection problems in that area.
Fofana mentioned this. And I don't know how long he's going to be with us, because apparently he's already been linked to moving. Linked. I mean, that's how good the guy is. He's not even playing. He's injured and he's being linked, you know. As long as we make a bit of money on him, you know, that's all we can hope for. But he mentioned how intense the training is. You know, he can't believe how intense it is. And all these injuries, because a lot of them are non-match day injuries. And, you know, nobody's gone and dropped a gold bar on the foot or anything like that. So they're all sort of within training. Is that, again, down to Rodgers? I mean, we had, was it Dave Rennie, you know, physiotherapist that had been there for years and years and years. Brendan got rid of him, brought his own people in, and we've had nothing but injuries. And the season when we had won the league, we hardly had any injuries at all.
Yeah, I think we can only guess on that. I mean, I know they talk about Conte bringing the same sort of attitude to training in at Spurs or wherever he's been. They're saying the intensity in training is different to what, you know, the players at whatever club he's been at have experienced before. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, we used to have, you know, quite intense training sessions and then it would relax. So you had a bit of both and you felt that there was a nice, you know, balance in there rather than, you know, being, you know, too much every day, which I do think can lead to strains, knocks, weaknesses. You know, it's hard when they're doing it every day. And then they're having, obviously, the physicality of the games and the fitness that they must have these days and the physicality, you know, it all sort of weighs on your body. And this is where the body starts to stress and strain and you can get these niggles or sometimes, you know, you can get, you know, even worse. So it's possibly something, you know, it's something we can only guess on, I think, Chris, if I'm honest.
Maybe it's something that he does need to look at. But I'm just saying, you know, this time last season, when we played 12 games, we were sat in third place. So we were 6 places better off. And we had 24 points. And we're now 9. We've got 15 this season. We're 9 points better off. And they do say that, you know, the table doesn't lie. You know, you are where your performances deserve you to be. But yet we are only 4 points off 6th place. We're 2 points off Man United in 8th. We're not out of it yet, I suppose, technically.
We're not out of it, but I don't think we're carrying confidence in performances. And I'm not sure about the points in the other direction, but it seems like there might be a couple of clubs below us that are going to improve dramatically between now and the end of the season. And I think that for me, you know, it's not a bigger worry. And I never thought I'd be saying that this season, but I think, unfortunately, we might just be having a look over our shoulder every now and then and hoping that we can nick a result here and there just to, you know, maintain the mid-season. And is it a season where we, like you say, big game on Thursday, if we lose that, are we out of that? And then it's just really about thinking about next season, which would be a shame when, you know, this time last season we were knocking on the door and thinking about a Champions League spot. But and this is why, and I'm sure we'll go on to talk about it, is why, you know, for me, Brendan shouldn't leave the club unless we actually want him to go, because I think at any other club, you know, if this was the situation, as we've just seen with Solskjaer, he'd be out of the door. And I think at least at Leicester, if this season was a disaster, he'll still be on here next season to try and put it right. And I think it would be then that if he couldn't put it right, that eventually the owners would have to say, well, you know, this is now a run of two seasons, whereas, you know, any other club is going to go out, this season would be enough and he'd be out the door.
I mean, you say, you know, that Brendan will probably still be with us, but, you know, we've seen Solskjaer, I think, got a bit of a stay of execution because of who he is, with the fact that, you know, he's got that history at the club. But like you say, you know, Watford are coming up behind us and we've got them at the weekend. You know, I never thought Claudio would, you know, is a guy that can take a team away from the relegation zone, but you can't argue with the results he's had of recent. Norwich, new manager, win the first game. Newcastle, new manager, draw the first game. Villa, new manager, win the first game. And even Man United won in Europe. You know, maybe Michael Carrick needs to take the wheel, Rio Ferdinand. You know, he's won a game, let him take the wheel. But, you know, you can say that, oh, yeah, Brendan's done really, really well. You know, and he's got, you know, I think it was Rob Tanner, no, Jeff Thomas, I think it was, on Talk Sports, saying, oh, he can't believe how fickle the Leicester fans are. Look at what Brendan's achieved. You know, two top fives, two Europe. I would say Community Shield then. I prefer to call it the English Super Cup and an FA Cup. But then, you know, Claudio had the Premier League medal in his back pocket. He didn't even last the season. Yeah. It's, and somebody posted in the group a picture, and I don't know if you remember Scooby-Doo, where they always used to unmask the guy at the end. And there was a picture of Brendan Rodgers, and the next picture, somebody had pulled his mask off, and Claude Puel was underneath. and I get that, because when he first came in, Brendan Rodgers, we were back to the Leicester of the, yeah, up and atom sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? And now it is, it's like Puel 2, the return.
It is. And, you know, I think of the top clubs counting us as one, I think we're the least harsh probably in this sort of situation. And, you know, he has had some success, some good success as well. You know, let's say the FA Cup in particular. And, you know, as disappointing as it is for fans, I think we might just have to take a season of pain, and I think then you would look at next season, and that would be the benchmark of, you know, are we being harsh next season? Because I don't think we would be if we were in a similar situation, because you'd sort of write this season off at some point. You'd be looking at your signings for next season. Where do we need to strengthen? And what do we need to do? And I still think, you know, whilst I say that the entire team defends, but I still think we need a quality centre half. If we look like losing Fofana, which I would imagine would be for big money, you know, we'd have to use that money to reinvest quite quickly. Johnny Evans has been a fantastic servant. Is he now just getting to that point in his career where, you know, it might be a bridge too far with injuries? I'm not saying he's not good enough, because on his day fit, you know, he's as good as anyone, but are the injuries catching up with him when he's not going to be available for a lot of the season? You know, and there's other players in there as well. And like, I think Soyuncu struggled with his form this season, probably missed Evans a lot, and a steadying, even as young as he is, for Fofana, is probably a steadying influence on Soyuncu, because he knows he's got a great sort of partner next to him. So they've just really not had that mix at the back. That definitely is one of the sort of priorities for me. We do have a great squad around that. Are we looking at, you know, what's going to happen to Vardy next season? I still think he'll go on and on and on. But do, you know, do we bring Dakar in more this year, and, you know, and have a look at that? Because I still think he's a really exciting prospect. You know, we saw in the European game, what a finisher. You know, he's not just an athlete that runs onto things. He can finish, that lad, and he's got some ability. So it's about, you know, sorting out for me where we are. We need to make sure that we're okay this season and then have that firm focus on next season. If it, because like you say, we might be 6 points off the top, but I can't really see us, you know, getting anywhere near that right at this moment in time with the form we carry.
That said, we are only 6 points off the bottom three as well. So, you know, it's like literally six of one and half of the other. Yeah. Just catch up with some points there. Scott, hello. Just had my little lad on the side of me who was bopping away at the background music. Loves his football throat. So, hello, Scott's son. I do apologise, I don't know his name. Rich, good evening. How are you, sir? Must be happy you get a win tonight with a new manager. Rob, Julian was just a glint in his mother's eye. Are you? You creep, sir. You creep.
Thanks, Rob.
Scott says, hello, Julian.
Hi, Scott. I'm very good, yeah. Thank you. Rob, you are too.
And then Rob says that's a 1948 sofa. Oh, he's an Indian giver, isn't he? He gives you a compliment with one hand and takes it away with the other.
No, I'm in the boudoir, Rob.
Let's not go there. This is his casting couch for his top totty. That's what it is. I hope your good lady knows that I only joke about these things, by the way. Scott says here, lots of injuries and having to change personnel and formations. Personal change, and I get, but formations should stay the same. We kind of touched on that. Brendan, for me, trying to be too kind to players and get them in the team rather than keep the same formation to pick a team that fits that formation.
I agree with that totally, mate.
Yeah. Doesn't help with confidence in the players at a low. Julian, did you at any point in your career feel like not playing and would showing your performances?
I never felt like not playing, whatever the circumstances. But, you know, I've had some really, you know, tough times with form, tough times results, you know, when things have gone against you. I mean, I've even played through injuries when I perhaps shouldn't have done, but, you know, we did in those days and we put ourselves forward. But I have had some really, really tough times when I've, I did an interview the other night for a friend of mine on it. It's called My Best 11 podcast for Marvin Johnson. And, you know, I was talking to him about when we got promoted at Leicester, and I had it in my contract that I would get a new contract if we got promoted, and the gaffer flat down refused that new contract. I know straight away then that he doesn't really fancy me in the Premier League. So straight away I'm on the back foot feeling I've got to prove myself all over again. And, you know, I always found things like that tough. I preferred a manager who'd give me a cuddle rather than someone who tells you, you know, everything that you were doing wrong. And, you know, unfortunately for me, Martin, you know, was the one who did it the other way. So, so I've had some tough times, but never not felt like playing. But it can be a lonely place out there if you're not, you know, you're not really in touch with your form, and especially if the team's, you know, struggling and can't carry you through as well.
I mean, I think that the Martin O'Neills, the Jose Mourinho's, the Alex Ferguson hair dryers, I think those sort of managers, you can't get away with it these days. I think you have to not manage like that. I don't think players would stand it, you know, especially if you throw a boot at you. I mean, looking at Ollie at the weekend after the Watford game, and he went up to applaud the fans, and you had Bruno coming behind him and sort of going like, you know, it's us as well, blame us as well. I mean, they say once the player goes over that white line, the manager's got no control, but the buck stops with the manager. And, you know, I can't blame the players at Leicester, because this is basically the same players that we had the last couple of seasons. We haven't sold anybody in the summer that we didn't want to let go. So, you know, to me, they were good enough last season. We've added better players in the window. Why aren't they as good this season? Is it just the fact that other teams are catching us up?
I think there is a bit of that, I've got to be honest. I mean, you know, we've seen West Ham, but not just this season. Obviously, last season as well had a very strong season. And they have got probably a really good 11 or 12, maybe not so much outside that, but while they're all fit, you know, they're a difficult team. You know, Vieira's coming at Palace, which you might think after the first few results, is that such a good, you know, acquisition of a manager? But he really has turned that around, and they look a danger. You know, obviously the performance against us, but, you know, other teams, they're on the front foot. They're getting the results now after a shaky start. And another team that normally would be, or have been in the last few years, around the bottom of the table. And we'd be thinking, if we're going down to Sellers Park, we're going to come away with 3 points. And if they would come up here, then, you know, it'd be even easier. But that's absolutely not the case this year. And then, as we've talked about, you know, Ranieri at Watford, who's going to change that around. He's going to make them very difficult to beat. And obviously Eddie Howe, I'm a big fan of, who's gone at Newcastle, and I'm sure he'll have a few quid to spend in this next window, and I'm sure he's already got his eye on who he wants to sign. And he's inherited three of his ex-Bournemouth players as well, and there's one or two players there who I'm sure will stay, have been an integral part of what he does, and he just needs to add on to the fringe of that. And I'm sure you'll see quite a big upturn from them. You could see at the weekend how much they were on the front foot with the three goals, although unfortunately, you know, they conceded three, but total different way of playing to how they had done under Bruce. And again, with ourselves, I think we've said it a couple of times tonight, so now I'm repeating myself. I think for me, it's the tinkering with formation. I totally agree. I think it was Scott who's just said is that, you know, we're accommodating players, whether the gaffer's bought one in, we know that. We've had Harvey Barnes, who's come through and been absolutely amazing. We've brought in Luckman, who I think's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
If we've got a formation that's successful and they don't quite fit into that right now, they have to sit on the bench by the time. And it might be that during a game, it's better tactically to go to a different formation and introduce one of them, you know, and then change things up a little bit if we can see something that needs to be changed. But for me, we've played well with Maddison behind the front two and a very tough front two to play against, because it's not a trendy formation at the moment. Everyone plays a lone striker bar, you know, maybe two or three clubs. But when you've got two strikers that offer everything that Vardy and Iheanacho do, with the physicality and the speed and the understanding they've got, with, you know, Maddison feeding them, you know, why don't we play that way? That's something I've really puzzled with, and it particularly at the weekend against Chelsea when we swapped it, still had the back three, but just tinkered that top three, and I didn't think it made any sense, other than if you thought I'm matching them up, and it definitely didn't work.
I mean, this is kind of worries me a little bit. This is our season so far. Now, I'll read it out because it's only small, so you probably I've got glasses on and I'm struggling, to be honest with you. I do have the advantage of having got it large on a different screen. I am cheating. Couple of very worrying points in there. So we're in 12th position. We've only kept one clean sheet all season, you know, and that was probably only because Wolves didn't have the shooting boots on. You know, a chance, and I don't know how they work these things out, but it's the Premier League stats, so they must be doing it in some way. Chances created per match, we're 1.08. So we're basically one decent chance a match. Even Watford are 1.42. You know, they're better than we are. You know, we're conceding, you know, more goals than they are. Our average goals per match is equal. It's just that whole, like I say, performance. And do the players need to look at themselves, or do the players need to turn around and say, look, gaffer, you know, I mean, I don't know if you, was it Bobby Robson in the World Cup? And it didn't really start very well for us. And the rumours were that the players took him aside and went, look, Bobby, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that. And he listened, took it on board, and got us to the semi-finals. How true that is, I don't know. But is it time for some of the, you know, the big, you know, the Schmeichels and the Vardys to say, look, gaffer, what's happening? We need to do something here, rather than just say, toff the hat, get the paycheck and drive home in the fancy car.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because I think everything that we see, and, you know, they do the analysis after games, I think, you know, Brendan obviously sees that, and it's just how they're addressing it. And I mean, at the moment, I'm not sure which player could step up and speak to the gaffer in that manner, because I don't think there's any real one player, apart from Tielemans maybe, who's actually performing for the shirt, you know, in a manner that we all think, yeah, do you know what, he's got something about him, he might be able to go and speak to the gaffer, because really everyone else has been making mistakes. But this, for me, it's entirely with the manager. You know, he can't help mistakes on the pitch. You know, someone miskicks it, you know, and it creates a chance. There's not a lot you can do about that. But the startling stat for me, and what you've just shown me, was the one clean sheet. Because without that base, you can't win anything. You're not going to be successful, especially in the Premier League, if you are not difficult to beat. And I think we look at the other side of it and then spin it on its head, and it's that, you know, they're creating 1.08, I think it was. And it, I think we're a bit too patient, you know, with the ball sometimes. And I love possession football, but it needs to be possession with a purpose. If you watch Chelsea, if you watch Man City, you know, if you watch Liverpool, there's a lot of purpose about, you know, the way they move the ball very, very quickly. So they're keeping possession. But, you know, I've also seen Liverpool being quite direct at times. You know, but they've got an understanding of the front three, that they all get around each other, they pick the pieces up, and if it does go long, they all know where to be to get the second ball. And we don't seem to look for that longer ball at any point, which you need to do to stretch the pitch and make it bigger to then find the space in between the lines. So, you know, it's just that we get the ball and it's pass. And for me, there isn't a lot of, I don't see a lot of purpose to it in the fact of going and scoring goals. And these days, teams will get behind the ball. You know, they'll be nice and comfortable. They wait for you to make a mistake. And hence, for me, that's why we're not really creating much.
I mean, there are 20 teams in the division. Do you know how many teams have actually conceded more goals than us? Two. And, you know, they are Norwich and Newcastle United. And now, and we're supposed to have this amazing defence. And I know Schmeichel can't do everything, you know. He's only a goalkeeper. Yes, they can pull off, you know, some saves when you know, a defender's dropped the minute. Not that defenders obviously drop the minute, Julian. I wouldn't accuse any defender of doing that, of course, you know. But if a defender makes some trips over the ball or whatever, but he to concede so many goals when, you know, we haven't. And I look at it, and this is down to Brendan, because I watched, I think it was the first or the second Chelsea goal. We didn't kick it out, so we passed it as we do, farting about at the back, playing it about and passing it out. And eventually it went out for a throw-in to the other team, still in our own half, and then Chelsea went on and scored from it. And you're like, if we want to lose the ball, why not just kick it upfield? And I know, you know, you could lose it because you might not get to the ball or whatever, but at least we're losing it in their half. And we couldn't even pass it against Chelsea. You know, passes were going behind players and out for a throw-in. You know, do they realise we were playing in blue? Did they think Chelsea were playing in blue? Because we couldn't. It was like watching somebody that was trying to play FIFA for the first time. Because they couldn't pass to their own players. And these are the basics and not what I expect from an FA Cup-winning Premier League team. And that has got to be down to the manager. The book stops with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Chelsea pressed really well. You know, that's no excuse. But this is, again, why I would prefer someone, you know. So on the weekend, with the way they played with the three up top, obviously the two wide guys were dropping back in to help out, which leaves Vardy up top on his own, you know, against a three. So, you know, the long ball isn't, you know, going to be successfully in that moment, but that's why, you know, why not have the two strikers on the pitch? Why not look a bit at Clichy and be a little bit more direct at times? And even if it's when we still want to play out from the back, but we just change it up every now and then, if, you know, we've got a bit of time on the ball, let's look for that longer ball and see if we can create something from it. And that creates a little bit of indecision, you know, in the opposition. But when they know for a fact that every time we get the ball, we're going to try and play out, they can really get on top of us with a lot of confidence that we're not going to go in behind them. And it just breeds confidence in them to come and close us down even more. And I think, you know, that's what you saw first half. And then, you know, the second half was an absolute canter.
I'm just going to bring up a few results here that I want to do. Now, this is even without Europe. We'll come on to that in a second. But, you know, we managed to beat the bottom team who couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag 2-1. We were lucky. We got 2-2 against Burnley, thankfully to VAR, otherwise we'd have lost that one. We managed to get two goals against Palace, against the run of play, and let them back into it. Arsenal, we just didn't wake up. We didn't set the alarm clocks for that one. But then we come to Chelsea, exactly the same, early kickoff, went two behind, and I'm thinking, right, second half, we're going to come out and have a go at him like we did with Arsenal. Probably wouldn't have got anything still, because when you're 2-0 down, it's hard to come back. But it just never happened. We were just, you know, it was 90 minutes of absolute garbage.
I know. And again, you know, I will say Chelsea excellent team, deserve to be where they are, top of the league. And I do think it is tough for them at the moment. You know, you look at that run of games and the disappointments along the way, and the, you know, there isn't really the bright spark, is there? You know, getting over the line against Norwich, you know, is not really a season high, although at the moment it's looking like it could be. But I do think, you know, they're in a tough place mentally as players, as a team. You know, they're conceding goals week in, week out. Strikers are getting frustrated. The formation's changing. You know, it doesn't, you know, seem to be, anything doesn't seem to be working. And that's where, you know, again, the formation, stick to one, go at it week after week after week. You know, we've seen it work. Why not stick with it and just persevere for two or three games and, you know, and see where we are after those two or three games. And then obviously you have to reflect on it again. But you know, if that doesn't work, then, you know, we're sort of kind of thinking, what happens next and what can Brendan do? But this is where he, you know, he really, really earns his money. Not last season chasing down the Champions League. It's in these difficult moments where, like you say, you know, a horrible run and everyone picking up below us, and it could be, you know, squeaky bum time at the end of the season. Let's hope it's not. And let's hope that we sort ourselves out sooner rather than later. Obviously, with this weekend being a massive game.
Anthony says here, Arsenal fan, welcome along, Anthony. Nice of you to join us. Horrible all round losing this weekend. You feel our pain, don't you? You feel our pain. Rob says here, Chelsea are battering Juve, so they're on a different planet. They are on a different planet. But you know what? Fans will forgive players a lot of things. You know, when we were bottom during the Great Escape year, and I've said this many, many times, I was doing an eight-hour round trip every home game to see them. And they were losing and losing and losing. We were bottom of the league. But do you know what? We were battling every single game. And I said, that's brilliant. That as long as they're battling, they're giving all that they can. Can't expect to win all the time. It's when they don't seem to have that passion. Now, you know, as a player, Julian, you don't go out thinking, oh, I can't be bothered. Or do you go out thinking, oh, I can't be bothered today? I'm not, you know, if you're feeling a bit off, you have a word with them and say, don't play me. I'm feeling a bit off or whatever. But you don't go out saying, God, I can't be bothered today, surely. And I just, are we missing a leader in the dressing room? Just what?
You'd think there are a few in there. You know, you look at Schmeichel, you look at Vardy. Evans, if he's about, even though he's injured. I mean, Tielemans is only a young man, but he's got a massive voice on the pitch, and you would assume, you know, that's the same in the changing room. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I agree with that, but it's that thing of now, I think sometimes it's the, like I say, the run we're on. But I think on the game against Chelsea is that they were better than us in all departments. And while it might look lackluster, it's just that we couldn't get near them. When we had the ball, we were pressured. They pressured as well. They play that formation every week. They know exactly what they're doing without thinking. And I think it just looks worse sometimes because, you know, players, I can't ever remember a player going out and you know, not trying. It's just one of those things. I mean, we all know as players that the one thing that, you know, the fans will forgive is if they see you running around, putting a tackle in every now, you know, you might get one tackle in 10, but you know, when you go and clatter someone, it gets the crowd up and they can see that, you know, the effort that you're putting in. And I think at the moment, you know, the Premier League's such a high level at the moment that when we do play a really good team, it is difficult sometimes to get close to them. And that doesn't, you know, we're not helped in the fact of where we are now as a team, which is it looks like we're down in the doldrums and, you know, we need to snap out of it. And at the moment, it doesn't seem like there's an obvious or magical answer.
No, I guess, but I know what you're definitely saying. Chelsea were on a different planet. And if we, you know, we've had this in past seasons against like Manchester City and, you know, Liverpool always seem to sort of put three or four past us. If it was like, now and again, I'd kind of understand it. But, you know, we're, that's happening against Norwich. I mean, for God's sake, you know, put your kids' team out against Norwich. They could have beaten them in the earlier season. You know, and then this wasn't happening last season. We were top five. I know a Liverpool fan said to me, he said, like, it's almost like Brendan's got this third season syndrome when he seems to sort of tail off. He said it, and I didn't think it happened that much at Liverpool, but he said it did. And like you say, it's Celtic. We've got to forget Celtic because there was just nobody that was touching him when he was up there. But, you know, this is his record here. And, you know, again, the advantage of me having a second screen here. You know, at Watford, his win percentage was 42. All right, 26 at Reading, but it was 45 at Swansea, 50 at Liverpool, 70 at Celtic, and it's 50. And I thought it would be a lot better than 50, but it's only 50% at Leicester.
Yeah, you know, you can see there. I mean, it's quite consistent. And again, I think you have to take Celtic out of the equation. And I think a little bit, you have to take, you know, Liverpool had some great players at the time and they were, yes, you know, fairly dominant. And I've said it time and time again about the Suarez factor. So, you know, maybe that is a little bit false. And you know, right now, you know, like you say, you're surprised it's not higher with what we've done. But, you know, I think a lot of that obviously has capitulated this season and dragged that stat right, you know, right the way down. So, you know, it's down to Brendan now. He's got a lot of work to do. Obviously, there's a lot of speculation surrounding him. And you think sometimes, you know, why are they bothered when they're seeing it? You know, the state that, you know, or our results are at the moment. Why are they so interested? Or is the belief that with, you know, a supposedly better camp of players, he will actually do it?
I actually went on Google the other day, and I've got it. I should have brought it up actually, but you know when you, like, I've just searched then, like, Leicester City managers. So you search Manchester United managers, and they've gone and they've got all the pictures across the top, and it went Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Brendan Rodgers. I'm thinking, bloody hell, already. That's like, but, you know, the rumours are that he has got a clause in his contract that if certain clubs come in for him, he would be allowed to go. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a poison chalice at Manchester United, I do believe. I think that they are, to me, remind me very much of Liverpool. They won everything for like 20-odd seasons on the trot, and then they're going to go a long time before they can. But it's Man United. I don't think it worries managers when they go to these clubs anymore, because they know that if they don't do well and they get sacked, they still, you know, they get the big payoff. So, you know, Jose Mourinho could live off his, you know, sacking fees that he's had.
Yeah.
Would he go, do you think?
I've said before on this show, I think it'd be foolish if he did, because I don't think he's ready for that yet. I don't think he's prepared for what he's going to walk into and the job at task. I mean, like, you know, you can look back and say, you know, David Moyes, it was a dream job for him, but, you know, you've just following the most successful manager, you know, of all time. It can only go one way. It's so difficult to carry on that mantle and command the respect that, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson had at Man United. And, you know, for me, it's been a bit of a poisonous chalice ever since then. And I think even now, they've got so many issues in the team that, you know, it's still a long-term fix. While they should be getting better than the results that they have been doing, particularly one against Watford, you know, you've got Rashford. Is he a striker? Is he a winger? Martial, exactly the same. You know, they brought in Ronaldo. Did Solskjaer want to sign Ronaldo? Because Ronaldo's a massive personality. Yeah. First thing you're thinking is, oh, blimey, you know, I've got to manage that. And or for me, Ole Solskjaer will be thinking, I've got to keep him happy. And that's not really a great place for a manager to be in. You've got Fernandez just in behind that, who is absolutely such a talented guy. But from every time I've seen them lose and they do the analysis after the games or a match of the day, it's about them not being able to press on the pitch. And he's not a presser. You know, there's no way, or he might be, but he's not being instructed to be. And they found that teams come through them, as we did at home. You know, we came through so easily. So the Man United job, it's full of problems for me at the moment that I don't see an easy fix. You know, I really, really don't, even with the players that they've got. I know Van der Beek started tonight and Sancho started tonight and actually looked really lively. But, you know, there's still conundrums all over that pitch about who's the best starting 11. And then you've got Fred, for me, who's not been doing it. Matic, for me, who's coming towards the end. Matter's there, used, you know, rarely, but still a talented player, but again, wrong side of his career. And you've got to look at them replacing all those players, see what's coming through. It's such a big job, and I think it's going to be, like you say, I think the right manager maybe turns that round, but in minimum a year. I can't see someone coming in and going, bang, hit the ground running, right, result, result, result. They'll get better results, but I don't see him, you know, challenging where they should be challenging straight away.
I just think that as a job, you know, if I was Brendan, how often do the big jobs come round? This is what we know. We knew when he came down, he would probably move on somewhere eventually. But the fact that it is Manchester United, and when you look at, my God, you know, it's like, you know, you, no disrespect, but, you know, a car salesman thinks, oh, shall I go and manage the local larder showroom? Or, oh, the BMW wants a sales manager. Well, you know, that you got, and I can see the attraction, but whether they would actually want him at the moment, of course, is another fact. You know, Ollie actually finished above him for the last two seasons, although obviously he's got a couple of trophies to his name. Anthony here says, what is wrong at Leicester? Where do you think we can improve? That's just what we've been talking about. Rob, a good point here, and I was going to bring this up later, but a good point, Rob.
Yeah,
I think Tielemans will be gone. I think he will be.
Yeah,
yes,
I do. I agree.
I mean, I don't know if you saw the game at the weekend, but Tielemans was obviously injured. He sat again, another injury, but he sat in the stands and the camera went to his face. My God, that face could have boiled water.
But it's true. You know, I think, you know, you've got De Bruyne and one or two others, but, you know, for me, he's right up there with them. Absolutely right up there with them. And a classic box to box, intelligent, gaffering games at 23 years of age, whatever he is now, you know, directing traffic. You know, we've all heard the manager say that he's the manager on the pitch, which is like unbelievable for someone of his age and at the level he's at. And, you know, he will be one to want to leave if you know, we continue in this vein of form and finish mid-table, particularly if it went on again next season, he'd be first one knocking on the door. So that's the other problem we've got. And, you know, Fofana, if he leaves and then Tielemans goes, and all of a sudden you've got big holes to fill that it's took us quite a few years to get to where we are. And I think it'd take us quite a few years more to get back to it again if we did lose these players.
I think it like you said, it depends on the players. If you look at Mahrez, you know, he went and he didn't get regular game time at Man City. He was just a big fish in you know, it's like you know, he was a big fish in the Mediterranean, but now he's in the Atlantic. It's a hell of a bigger pond. Same with Jack Grealish, you know, I mean, £1 billion, and he sat on the bench and doesn't come on in the derby. Whether it's whether players look at that or not. And Anthony and Scott are saying there in the chat, you know, about getting other players in. We've got new players in, and I don't think at this point, until we lose people, that bringing extra players in is going to make the difference, because we know what these players can do. You mentioned Europe earlier, and I hate to say that we lost in a European game, and that was the end of Claudio, and we were on a bad run then. Now, like I say, we're maybe not, you know, we're not quite as low down as we were when Claudio went, but that was playing abroad. But we've got, you know, if we don't win, and I'm just like, I haven't got it up on the thing, but if we don't win here, that will give Legia, let's say Legia beat us, that will give them 9 points. If Napoli win, which you presume they will, that will give them 10, and we'll be sat on 5. So the best we can hope is that Spartak Moscow are on 4 can actually won't get any more points. Otherwise, we could literally finish bottom of the group and be out of Europe altogether.
Yeah, it's been, you know, again, I was disappointed last season with the sort of European tour that we had. It was, I felt when we came back home last year that we'd get the results and we didn't. And again, it's been disappointed this season that, you know, I think when they talked about, well, just before the kickoff of the Europa League this year, the talk was that us and Napoli were the favourites to win it.
Yeah,
and quite probably at the time, quite rightly so. And obviously, as time's gone by, it's proven not the case. So, you know, that is a disappointment. I mean, whether you know, do we want to carry on in it and see how we get on, or do we want to come out and concentrate on making the league position right? It is a conundrum, because if you go and win the Europa League, people say, well, great, you know. Why would we not want to do that? But I would only want to do that if we could manage the league as well. And it's whether we can manage both at the moment in time. And like I say, I'm quite worried at what, you know, like we say, we're 6 points of either total success or utter failure.
Totally. And you beat me to it, really, because I was going to say, is it going to be such a bad thing if we do go out and we can then, as they say, concentrate on the league? People said to me, oh, would it be a disappointment if you didn't finish top five? And I said, no, if we won 10 and finished about 10th and won won the Europa League, I'd be happy with that. I can't see us winning the egg and spoon race this season.
No. And that's what it's becoming. Like I said, it's do we concentrate on that? The daft thing is you might have a good run in the Europa League, but if you pick up a few injuries on these away days and things like that, and then we come back and we're facing another Premier League team at the weekend and one or two more injuries to add to what we've got. Again, it just looks like a really big task. So, I mean, the be-all and end-all now is, mid-table mediocrity, I think we'd all take right now. I definitely would. I would absolutely right now, if someone said guaranteed finishing 10th, but you're out there, you're Europa League, I'd take that right now. I'd shake their hands and deal done. But we'll just have to see how this week plays out. Like I say, the game and then the big, what is now going to be a massive game at the weekend, which, a month or so ago, we'd be thinking 3 points and we might get back on a decent run here and start climbing the table again. And Watford have been a bit funny. They've had a good result, a bad result, a good result, and then obviously the results at the weekend. But they have looked, quite dangerous, especially on the break. I know Claudio will have got them really, really well organised defensively. And the only good thing is he inherited a squad that I don't think was fantastic, apart from one or two sort of decent players in that. So, and he's got that to work with. But, on the worst case scenario, we don't win that game. We come out the other side of it and we get beat. Then we really will in 6 days' time be thinking, oh dear, this is going to be, a bit tight, I think. So whatever happens in Europe happens. But for me, we've just got to make sure that we start picking some results up, and the sooner the better.
I mean, even the amazing, like Daka gets 4 goals in one game, but that overwrote the fact that we were 3-0 down, we were 2-0 down. I think at that point, and you're thinking like, well, it wasn't maybe such a good result. Yeah, we got 4 goals. Yeah, we got the 3 points. But again, it comes back to the performance. But I'm going to put another idea across to you, taking it now devil's advocate roles, but we'll take a quick break. And can I just say how pleasurable sometimes it is to own fans of other clubs? This is what it is like to own fans of other clubs, guys.
But one thing was good was the ESL woke a lot of us up.
Yeah.
And the best part is, right? With the ESL, right, a lot of us had one common goal. It doesn't matter we're from Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, all the big six teams. I'm sorry, Chris. Maybe one day it will include you into the...
When was the last time you won anything, mate?
Six years.
I think a trophy cabinet that's only got dust in it.
I know. I can't take that too. You got that. Got one of those. You guys. Yeah. No, but what I'm saying, it could happen to your club too.
The way we're run and our tactics right now, we would be relegated right along with you. We'd never win anything again.
It's not about football anymore, and you guys probably won't remember because we've won the title more recently than any of you guys. But when we won the oh, can I clip that, please? I've got the Spurs on. Oh, that was me, two Gunners, a Spurs, and a Man United fan. And
top bands, Chris. Top bands.
I know. It wasn't even my show. I was only on as a guest. It's like, I'm taking that from a Spurs fan. No way. But before we just come to a couple of questions on this from the viewers, playing devil's advocate, and yet I'm disappointed, and we do seem to be taking a step backwards. And we know expectation fuels success fuels expectations, and the better you do, the better you want to do. And like you said, you know, were we kind of punching above our weight? But is this season maybe a kind of a reality check season? I think I've possibly said this before to you. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you've had two top fives. Well done, guys. You know, you're not quite there yet. You've won the FA Cup and Charity Shield. Now, just take it, have a season, gather it together, and then come back again stronger.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a massive reality check for us as fans, you know, because we did have expectations. You know, we spoke on this show or other shows before and said what we expected, you know, this season, and we all pointed towards it being better than it actually is, you know, and it hasn't been. You know, we all have to sort of take that on board. And, you know, it's going to be about rebuilding and about which players we bring in and about what targets we set next year. But, you know, this season is going to be disappointing. I can't see it getting any a lot better. I think a nice thing would be a good run of games that sort of just put us around that top eight or just outside of that top eight. So, I think that's the best we can hope for at the moment. But I think as fans, if we can see a plan, you know, we could probably take this season on the chin. I think if it drags into the next season, that's where it becomes a huge, huge problem for, you know, everyone involved with the club, because, you know, I don't think the supporters would take that, and quite rightly so. And I don't think that, you know, the club would. But right now, we've just had one of those faltering seasons. And as we've all said, we're always disappointed if we're not considered top six when, you know, Arsenal and Tottenham have recently not been so successful. But again, a reality check on that. And I always said they're considered top six because of the history of being there and thereabouts for such long periods of times. And this is where we're just having a bit of our blip. Can we show what a great team and squad and manager and everything else we've got, and come back next season and say, yeah, we had a bit of a blip, but, you know, we're back again now and we've regrouped.
Just looking there, Terry's saying, and I'm just trying to have a look at this now, Warsaw have only had one win against lower league opponents since last playing Leicester. They dropped into the relegation zone and manager sacked. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
It's nice to see that's happening to a team that's in our group.
Yeah, well, yes, but then, of course, this is Leicester, and they've probably brought a new manager in, and we'll suffer from the new manager back.
Yeah. Yeah,
they are actually Terry. And I haven't. I've actually got the preview show tomorrow, but I haven't done anything. I had my booster jab along with my flu jab at the weekend, and it knocked me for six. So I've kind of hardly done anything. And this is their they've lost. They are down in 17th out of 18th. Okay. Whoa.
Well,
I can't get too excited, but maybe we can do something with that. Who knows? But yeah, I do get that feeling that maybe we've got to. I can't believe I say do I want Brendan Rodgers to go? And, you know, we've got to say it's always the manager that takes the blame, whether the players are bad or not. And I don't think the players, like you say, they're only following what they're told to do. I don't want him to go, but if he went, I kind of wouldn't be disappointed.
I think with that, it's who do you bring in? And right now, you know, yes. I mean, there is, I'm sure there's options, but I think for me now, for the club that we are and the club that we've shown ourselves to be in the last few years is that, you know, We give Brendan all the support we can. The club does, and we you know, have faith in his ability, because he is a good coach. He's a top coach to turn it around. And like I said, this season is going to be one to take on the chin. And it's if it continues past it and nothing's done, and there aren't new signings made, and we can't see, you know, any progression in certain players leaving the club and certain players coming into the club and looking like positive steps forward. So, you know, that for me would be. The sort of signal that maybe he has come to the end of his tenure. But right now, I think we just get behind him and, you know, like I say, hopefully he's good enough to turn it around, and I'm sure he can.
Indeed, indeed. Question here then. Let's go to a couple of questions in there in the comments. Terry says, a manager can't be seen to walk out of clubs too often. told Jose. So if they wanted to be sacked, would playing guys out of position and in a new formation help to get a sack in after a few games?
It's an interesting point, Terry. Very, very cynical, by the way, as well. But
yes.
I don't know a manager who's ever done that. But I think they can't be seen to walk from too many clubs. But I think, you know, the compensation side of things, as we've talked about a lot, is that, you know, if he did decide that he was going to make the brave decision and literally walk out of the club to go and take something that he thinks is bigger, that he would be well compensated if it didn't work out well. But the sad thing for me would be that if he did leave here, go to Man United, and it didn't work out, where does he go, you know, after that? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he's still not going to get a top club. You've got us there and thereabouts. You know, David Moyes at West Ham doing a good job. You know, there's not a lot of places for him to go after that. And he could look back in a few years and regret it, despite the bank balance being much healthier.
Indeed. Words and pictures. West Ham fan, good evening, sir. You're most welcome. And that's probably a little bit why you liked my banter before, being a West Ham fan. The fact that I was having to go at Arsenal and Tottenham fans. He basically is touching on what, you know, would we benefit from a new manager coming in? And he said, I'm torn here because although he's doing bad, he's, you know, at the end of the day, he's still a damn good manager. Look what he's achieved so far. He keeps saying he's committed to Leicester. He's turned down Newcastle. Whether he can turn down Manchester United, I don't know. You get a new manager in and you're just going to start things over again. You know, how many years have Man United wasted in chopping and changing the manager of Watford? A new manager comes in, I want my own players in.
Mm.
I've got my own form of how I play. And I know it kind of works in the Italian league, but whatever happened to these 5-year plans and 6-year plans?
There's no patience, and said it a lot on here before. It's, you know, it's the problem is the money that, you know, you win or lose, despite, you know, depending on where you finish in the league. And, you know, clubs look at that and they're very quick to make these decisions because, you know, allegedly Solskjaer's got a £7.5 million payout and they've not even blinked to sack him, you know, and for me, that's a lot of money, but it's obviously, you know, changed down the back of the bloody sofa for Man United to just sack him and paying that out, although it has, I suppose, been coming, but it's not long since he signed, you know, a new contract. So should they be more savvy on what contracts, you know, they're handing out in the first place? So I think right now, I think we could look at it and we could be sat here in 4 weeks saying, so glad he stayed, what a great job he's doing, or, oh my God, I wish he'd have gone. You know, or should have gone, and that's just football. We really can't see. You know, we've just seen the stats for Warsaw, so that might be, you know, a game there where it's it gives us that confidence if we go and win it well, score a lot of goals, that we take that into the weekend, and all of a sudden, you know, you're on a run in and out of Europe. So we just can't say that for sure. And I think obviously it's like everything in football; we're all guessing and surmising. You know, whatever qualifications we think we have, we really don't know what's around the corner. So, I think, you know, it's like watch this space for the next few weeks and we can all say how great we were and we got it right or we got it completely wrong.
Indeed. Last question for you, and I'm not going to put any pressure on you at all. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. This may have cropped up before, but I think it's worth taking another look at. So, if they said, Julian, we've sat Brendan, come in and just sort of, you know, do an ollie, steady the ship for us. What would you do leading up to the game on Thursday against Warsaw?
On Thursday night, depending on availability and fitness, I'd definitely be going with the three and the wing backs. I'd definitely have Maddison in. As we, you know, like I say, looking at those stats, we can see that, you know, they do look a bit vulnerable, famous last words, but they do look vulnerable. Yeah. And it does look like a game where Maddison, you know, would be useful. I'd definitely have Kelechi and Vardy up top, but I'm dying to see more of Dakar. I don't know what he's done to not deserve being on the pitch more. I've only seen glimpses of him, which must be very, very difficult for him. But like I say, that game, he came on and he was a natural finisher and he's got pace to burn, a bit like Vardy. So it'd be nice to see, you know, and I personally, I'd be looking to, you know, introduce him a bit more. And we've also got a wealth of talent on the bench to come, you know, to come off the bench and change the game we want to, you know, in the team that I'm picking, Perez, Barnes, Lookman, you know, great attacking ability. you know, young Luke Thomas and players like that. So there is plenty to go at. The back three is a worry. And, you know, again, against a team like that, we shouldn't concede. And again, can we come on, keep a clean sheet, score the goals and take that confidence into the league form?
I mean, keeping a clean sheet, but I love your confidence with that one. but I think we've got to go for it, whatever happens. You know, as soon as if I can see the team go for it, because it is literally a must win, and we lose, then I can say, well, we gave it a go. But if we go out and play this defensive, you know, give them too much respect, I think he's going to lose even more goodwill.
Well, I do, Chris. I agree with that. I mean, they should start the game, like I say, as we've seen tonight at the starts, this game, and it's a must win. So you've got to start on the front foot. And, you know, if the atmosphere is right, and that'll spur the players on and, you know, a few early opportunities. And I've experienced this myself in bigger games where if you do manage to get on front foot, I mean, someone might blaze one over from 30 yards after a minute, but it still gets an ooh from the crowd, even if it's hitting the guy serving the hot dogs on the back of the head halfway up the stand. You know, people just want to see that excitement and that, you know, that we're actually having a go at it. So hopefully they start on the front foot, which is exactly what they should do. And see where that takes us.
Yeah. I'd even have Schluck back and him banging it into Rose Ed. At least he had a shot. Scott says he doesn't want Rendon to go, but if he does anytime soon, my choices would be Allegri or Diego Martinez, formerly Manager Green. You've got one over me on there. I don't know him. I've got to be honest with you. Terry says the only manager I can think of that encourages youngsters, Lampard. Yeah, no, thank you. Brookline, how are you popping in at the end there from America? How the devil are you, sir? We have to play Perez. We've not been winning any games without him. You're saying that because you know Brad's not on tonight's show. Maybe, though. Maybe. You know, you've got a point, Brookline, you know. But, Scott, you're going to lose any goodwill you've got with Julian here. Julian would probably take the lads down the local brewery.
You know me too well, Scott.
It's called team bonding, I think,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
For want of a different name for it. Yeah, back in the day, it was called getting pissed. Now it's called team bonding. Yeah, Julian, it's not been a nice one because of the topic. Yep. But I think we can agree that we want Brendon to stay.
Yeah.
And it's just a blip. We end on agreeing yet again. We've
still
not found anything to argue about. But thank you so much for coming on as always. Thank you for giving up your time. And we'll see you next Tuesday. You look after yourself and give my best to your family.
Let's have a good week. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, fingers crossed. Thanks very much. Thanks to Julian there. Yeah, let's hope we do have a good week. Terry, you've made me feel better there looking at that about Warsaw. But then if we lose, it's going to make me feel even worse than just losing. Brookline, thanks very much. Perez is like Firmino, says Brookline. The fans don't appreciate the defence. Yeah, Brookline, you're winning me over. But you never thought I'd say that, did you? Right. I'm going to leave you just to let you know what is coming up next. It's a double header tomorrow night, starting off at 7 o'clock with Craig and myself. We'll bring that up, Terry, about Warsaw's form. 7 o'clock, it's the preview show. And at 9 o'clock, another ex-player, Steve Linitz, will be joining us. He's overtaking me in the prediction show. I'll have to try and get some points back off him. So 7 o'clock tomorrow, the preview show, where we're looking ahead to the Warsaw game. And at 9 o'clock, the prediction show, when we are looking ahead to the weekend's games. Guys, if you want to see more of my banter or you want to see it again with the other fans, I did enjoy it. It's on TikTok. It is. And my TikTok is LTIDTV. All the letters, LTIDTV on TikTok. Please give me a follow. Would appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, give me a subscribe. I would even love you even more. And if you want to catch up with this on podcast, we're all over the place. We are on Spotify, Apple iTunes. Well, we're basically everywhere, don't you know? We are all over there. There you go. Apple, Spotify, Google, Podcast Addict, Anchor and more. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die. Don't know why you've got to say it all, but you have. And like I say, if you're on YouTube, please press that subscribe button, which is down there somewhere. Yeah, down in that corner. And give us a call. It really would help me, and I would appreciate it very, very much. What night is quiz night? I don't know. We haven't got one lined up. But if you want to take part in one, message me on Twitter at LeicesterTID, at LeicesterTID, and we can get you in if you fancy a bit of a non-football quiz challenge that we do these days. Mm-hmm. We will see on that then. See, no Hammers questions, just general knowledge questions. Well, there might be one or two Hammers questions in there. Who knows? Let's just see a few more comments to go out. Tomorrow night, I'm down the pub. Jane will miss you. Raise a glass to me, mate. Raise a glass to me. And you're down there with Julian's team bonding, aren't you? Bookline, that black and gold is my favourite shirt. I love it, to be honest with you. I do. I much prefer the stronger colours to the wishy-washy ones. But I do kind of like the green one, but I do prefer the bolder colours, I must admit. Thanks to everybody that was in the chat. Really appreciate you coming on. As I say, thanks so much for Julian as well. We'll see you tomorrow at 7 or at 9, whichever you can make. You will be welcome on the 1st, and you'll also be welcome on the 2nd. Now, are you ready for a Christmas ending, or is it too soon? Too soon, do you think, for a Christmas ending? I think you might be right. See you tomorrow. Good night. That's all,
folks. Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news.
Come on, you foxes!
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Some people are on the pitch, they think it's all over. It is now.